My brothers and sisters in Christ, continued blessed Easter season to all of you. Do all of you know how long this season of Lent is? How many days? 40 days, right? And then how long is the Easter season? Do you know how long that is? It's 50 days. So when does it end? It ends in about 3 weeks on the Feast of Pentecost. So we have three more full weeks of the season of Easter, and that's done very much in purpose. As important as repentance is, and it's essential for us to turn away from our sins, to give up the ways of our lives in this world, as important and essential as that is, it's not the point of our journey as Christians. Our journey as Christians is meant for resurrection. We're looking for the new life, and we want to be able to experience that new life even now. Easter is a time for us to remember that we are made for something more, that there is a purpose for the sacrifices that we make. We're not just putting burdens on ourselves. We're not just carrying our cross to no avail. We're holding on to those crosses because we know, we're very confident that we can follow where Christ has gone before. And so this should give us every reason to give up so much of our worry and our concern. And we can hear that worry and concern in that gospel, right? Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. If you have faith in God, faith also in me. And he gives them this hope. He says, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. And so to think about that, to keep that in front of our eyes and our hearts, and to be longing for that as much as we can, that place where we will have a place in the Father's house, to be with our Father who created us, who made us. Remember, everyone, that we're made in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. We are created to be, we are made by God to be with him, to be in heaven. This is why we're willing to do the hard work in this life and be persistent in this life and continue to do the work and to turn away from our sins, because we're made for something more. There's a greater life out there. And so Jesus doesn't want our hearts to be troubled. The evil one is always trying to lure us back into that trouble, into that worry. This gospel is actually read quite a bit throughout the year. How many of you have heard this gospel about Thomas saying, we don't know where you're going? How many of you heard it at a funeral before? You heard this one at a funeral? A lot of times they read this one at funerals. It's interesting that we have a funeral gospel during Easter, isn't it? A little bit interesting. Funerals are pretty sad, somber, and Easter is about candy and the Easter bunny. It's very exciting. But it's done very, very much on purpose, done very much on purpose. We read this gospel during Easter and at funerals because the two, for us Christians, aren't mutually exclusive. When we see somebody has died, it brings us sadness because it's the end of the road in this life. But we do it very much on purpose because we're expecting people to rise from the dead. Jesus said, you will see greater things than this. There are great miracles that are still to come and that are at work now. And those who have faith in Christ are going to see them. And it will move their hearts. And they will be able to proclaim them to others. We have to have those eyes of faith to be able to see the value in those things that seem mundane, continually carrying out God's will day after day. We who are Christians can see farther than what meets the eye here and now. So important for us to continue to hone that ability in ourselves, to look beyond the surface. Jesus sees to the heart, to have that desire deep within our hearts. It's interesting the title that St. Peter uses for Jesus today. There's a lot of awesome, amazing titles for Jesus Christ, isn't there? We know he's the King of Kings, if you can imagine that. Or the Lord of Lords. One of the titles for Jesus is the Son of God. What could be better than that? He's the Son of the Eternal Father, or even the Son of the Blessed Mother. Did you hear what St. Peter calls him today? What's in that second reading? Come to him, ready for this? A stone. A little anticlimactic. A stone? I mean, how common is a stone? Doesn't seem like that big of a deal. He says, Jesus Christ is a stone. You know, I suppose Jesus called Peter a stone, so Peter thought, I'll call him a stone too. Peter, you are rock, right? Jesus is a stone. Think about some of the elements of a stone that are very important. You can't have something that's built solidly in this world if it's not built on rock. It's not built on stone. The image of the stone makes something immovable. Those of you that have picked rock in your day know what I'm talking about. They're about impossible to move. You'll hurt your back if you try to move them. It's like an anchor that holds us down in the midst of all of the storms of life. Jesus is that stone. And he says he's a living stone. He's alive, fully alive. He's not dead. So as to make sure that we're not giving the image. Think about that stone that was set in front of Jesus' tomb, right? And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they came to the tomb. They said, dang it, how are we going to get in there? Who's going to move that stone for us? The one who's going to move it is the living stone. He's going to kick that stone's butt. Sorry. He's going to move that stone. He's the stronger stone, right? And so what we want to do is be stones ourselves. Living stones. And this is what St. Peter tells all of us. Let ourselves be like living stones. Let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, the living stone. You know, to many people, Jesus is a stumbling block in this life, isn't he? The teachings of the church, not very popular. The hard way of life that we have to live as Christians, it's a stumbling block, and that's why a lot of people walk around Christ and leave him. They reject him, right? So they says, St. Peter says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. They didn't think that Jesus was who he said he was. Guess what? They stumbled. They stumbled. They failed. And I know that the reader from our first reading took great glee in this, Kathy Dwyer. She said, even a large group of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. I know that you were laughing at me when I said that. In that first reading, people started to change once they saw that Jesus was a stone worth trusting in. My brothers and sisters, you and I know this from the experiences of our lives, that Jesus Christ is strong. He's immovable. He's an anchor. He will be there for us when the rest of the world washes away. Don't build your house on the shifting sands. Don't put your heart in those sinful things that are going to pass by tomorrow. What's going to last? We come to Mass week after week after week, day after day. We unite ourselves with Christ. We're building ourselves up into that home that we want to experience even in heaven. We can experience heaven now. We don't have to wait. We can't see it with our own eyes right now. But that life of grace is able to be experienced right now. As we turn from our sins, we begin to be caught up into the glory of heaven. We sing, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Even now we get to taste heaven. That's why it's important that we take 50 days before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to be filled with a wonder and awe that Jesus' body has risen from the dead. Even though we mourn at funerals, we mourn different than everybody else. We don't let our hearts be troubled. We have faith in God. We have faith in Christ. And Jesus gives us every reason to offer up those spiritual sacrifices. Don't be afraid to offer up the sacrifices. You are a priesthood. You are a holy people. All of you gathered here, all of us, offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Don't give up on that. Our Lord gives us that command through St. Peter, the rock, who was hesitant to believe. He gives us that faith through St. Thomas. Lord, where are you going? So let us be greatly encouraged by our Lord and take every one of these days of Easter and grow in our faith, become more firmly established with Christ our rock, Christ our Redeemer. He saves us, and we can't do any better than coming to this rock and this church, this altar where we receive the bread of life. Let's unite our hearts to Jesus himself, in this Holy Eucharist and receive him who will bring us to the glory of heaven even now.